Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Welcome in to Players Only.
Hit somebody in the mouth!
Brought to you by Flight, by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer, and by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Miriam's Grand Station. Online at 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, Big Patio. Here's Chiefs ambassador and Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Danan Hughes.
What's going on, Chiefs Kingdom? We are back in the building. Good to be back here in studio. I am your host, Danan Hughes. You can follow me on Twitter /X at DAHughesGuy83 or on Instagram at Danan Hughes. I should say and on Instagram at Danan Hughes. And as you heard, Players Only is brought to you by Flight, by Yuengling, the next generation of light beer, and 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Merriam's Grand Station. Online at 30hop.com. Go there, try the wings. I know you're going to judge me by saying this, but I am team boneless wings. I don't want to hear on the text line about nuggets and all that stuff. They are boneless wings. I read on the menu that it says boneless wings. And because I have such a great education from Bayonne High School and the University of Iowa, what I read is true. So I eat boneless wings, team boneless, filet steaks, boneless wings. Go to 30 Hop. It is not that time yet, Julio. Hot fire, spitfire takes are not in the first quarter. Don't be that guy. All right, so we are here again after another Chiefs win. How great is it to be in the midst of watching this team continue to ascend, continue to get better, and stacking up win after win. The season has gone a little bit down then up. You've heard me say, if you haven't listened to me on the broadcast, I'm on the broadcast 96.5 The Fan each and every game day, 3 hours before the game, a few minutes after the game with post-game interviews, and during the game with Mitch Holthus and Josh Klingler. And I've said it time and time again, this is my sixth year in the booth. I do not care about being the best team in September. I want to be the best team in December and January. And we seem to be moving in that direction, bar any injuries. So it was great, absolutely great, to get another win and to shut out an opponent and do it in the fashion that we did it. Let me just say, the Raiders, there was no better team than the Raiders to do that to. That was abysmal. It was an abysmal effort by the Raiders. They quit. They gave up. The Raiders were raidering, and we took advantage of it. We were a team that was better than them on our home field. And if you heard me in the past, I've always said, the recipe for success in the NFL is beating teams you're supposed to beat and winning at home. So we were 2-for-2, and if you want to add a third, that team being in the AFC West, you could add that as the trifecta in regards to our successes and the feats from this past weekend. The phone lines, text lines are open, 913-586-7965. Please chime in. I want to hear all that you have to say. There's so much going on. I kind of feel like I'm holding some stuff back in this first quarter because that hot fire, spitfire takes. There's a lot going on in the world of sports, and we're going to try to tackle some of those then. But looking back on this Raider game, I grew up in the NFL, played 6 years with the Chiefs. Marty Schottenheimer was my coach. I had never heard this phrase before. I played for the late, great Hayden Fry in college. Many people don't realize my offensive coordinator was Bill Snyder. Great coach. Learned the most from him in a short period of time. He molded me, set the foundation for me as a football player at the college level, and carried a lot of his coaching techniques and tips throughout my professional career. But Marty Schottenheimer coined a phrase, the midnight rule. You may have heard it before. It usually pertained to losses. And what it was that at midnight, whatever happened during that game, Sunday, Monday, Thursday night, whatever it was, playoffs, regular season, midnight was the last moment, 11:59 technically was the last moment you were supposed to celebrate, or you were supposed to feel sorry for yourself or wonder what happened or have regrets or any of those emotions that came about from that football game. At 11:59 was the last moment you were supposed to be thinking about it. As of midnight, you should move on to the next opponent. Now, if we won big games, we were out in the streets hanging out, doing things, yes, technically we were still probably celebrating after midnight, especially if it was a night game. But the premise was midnight rule, move on to the next game. Shut it off, close the door, move on to the next game. I have lived by that theory throughout my career and post-career in the media world, etc. I broke my rule. I apologize to no one. But let me tell you, when you blow out the Raiders, when you only allow them to have 30 plays in a game while you get 30 first downs, when they're 0-for on third down, 0-for on fourth down, and you beat them 31-0, I feel like you deserve the right to celebrate a little bit longer. Longer than midnight. Now, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, for those of you that hate the Raiders like I do, I've decided to extend that all the way till this Thursday night. I have had an absolute blast this entire week basking in the glory of beating the Raiders in the fashion that we did, and especially doing it at home on a Sunday afternoon. I only wish it would have been Sunday night football or Monday night football so the entire world could have focused on our game. That our game would have not been taken off air and switched to another game that was closer. That everyone would have been able to watch what we did, how bad we abused the Raiders in that game. And that was just fitting. I have all the respect for Max Crosby, and I'm sure there are several players on that team that if I watched the film intently, I would say, you know what, that guy, he did his job. This guy played hard, all of those different things. But the fact remains is that was the Raiders. They got what they deserved, and I have no apology for extending the midnight rule. I guess I have to extend it to today. It's 6:07. Now I have to extend it to midnight on Thursday. That's how special it was to be a part of that broadcast and to watch that abuse happen on the football field. The Chiefs are a better football team, and it was great to see Rashee Rice back. We're going to hear from him as well. We got post-game sound. I get to go down to the locker room soon as the clock hits zero and interview players and Coach Reed. I want to share that with you right now. Let's go to hear from Rashee Rice, who had 10 targets in the game, 7 catches, 2 touchdowns, an amazing performance for his debut in 2025. All right, thanks. We're here with Rashee Rice. Welcome back. How good does it feel to get back on the field?
It feels great to be back. It feels great just to be around my brothers again, being able to be out here and compete and go against somebody, you know, in a different uniform.
And 7 catches on 10 targets. They didn't waste any time getting you involved in the offense. How key was that in this big win today?
I think it played a big part just because kind of took focus off of other players, allowing other players to get the ball, making sure everybody ate. Everybody got the ball today.
How tough is that? I mean, as a former wide receiver here, you know, we had talent, but to the extent of this talent that you guys have and that ability of Matt Nagy and Andy Reid to be able to get everybody eating on the field, I mean, how huge is that?
It's huge. It's not necessarily tough for us. Everything over here for us is a brotherhood, so we plan for each other. As long as one of us or a couple of us is doing a good job, we know everybody is doing their job in practice, and it's just transferring to the game.
And now you guys, for the first time this season, are above 500 at 4-3. This 3-game road stand, Monday Night Football, still often in the distance, but to be able to control what you can control at home on this field, how huge is that?
It's huge. Like I said, it's all about our energy. It's all about how we attack the week, the process of preparing for the games and what's to come on Sunday, Monday, whatever day we have to play. We just make sure that we're preparing throughout the week to be successful when it comes game time.
All right, congratulations. I don't know if you all hear it, but the energy, and Julio and I were talking about this before we came in to start the show, the energy in that locker room, what you hear in the background, just the energy in his voice alone tells you that something special is brewing with this team, that it's not just about celebrating this game, that you can hear the life in his voice and the excitement of his abilities, the successes he had on the field specifically, but then also talking about his brothers. And in the NFL, yes, you are a team. Yes, you want to cheer for each other. Yes, I feel like I was the biggest cheerleader for every other teammate that I had. But if I was a guy, most of my career as a backup wide receiver, I always felt like, man, I could have did that. I wish I'd have had those targets. Not throwing any shade on anybody else, but always like in the locker room, part of me is celebrating, but part of me is like, man, if I'd have had that throw on target there, that, you know, I could have done that too. I don't get that vibe from these guys. And I'm in there looking for it. I'm looking for guys that are moping around or maybe their body language is a little different. This locker room is something special. This is different. Even from the past Super Bowl runs, after a win, to be quite honest, there were times I had watched different guys, and I'm not going to name any guys, but there were different guys that did not seem happy to just win. They seemed happy when they won and they contributed or they had a good game, and I think that's human nature. But this locker room seemed to be different, not just this past week, but the past couple of weeks. And when you think about the diva tag that wide receivers have gotten, you think about what A.J. Brown is kind of co-texting in Philadelphia after a good game and reading books on the sideline, and you wonder about, okay, is he ever going to be happy? You see some of the body language and issues and guys throwing helmets on the sideline, Jamar Chase's and other guys around the NFL that are frustrated even in wins or competitive games. And then to hear these guys and the life that they speak about each other, Xavier Worthy was sitting right next to him, chiming in after his comments. So I feel like that's something inside this team, something inside this organization that we really need to pay attention to. Another part we need to pay attention to is Andy Reid and his postgame. Here with head coach Andy Reid. Coach, unseasonably warm day, but a great day for all three phases to show up and get a big win at home.
Yeah, proud of the guys. I mean, you're right. All three phases did show up, and they're banged up a little bit. Harps has done a good job of trying to keep it all together there with the injuries, but we were able to get on top of them and keep it there, and that's important.
Yeah. You never want to see injuries or anybody get hurt, but coming into the game, I come up with some keys to victory, and one of those was the physicality, bringing the physicality from the onset. You guys obviously accomplished that.
Well, it was big that the O and D line step up in a game like this. You know they're going to be physical. It doesn't matter who's playing. They're going to be in there and they're going to be battling. That's the way they've been raised in that program there. So we kind of emphasize that. The guys know it. I mean, these guys know it. They've played them before. So you know it's just going to be a knockdown drag out. That's what it was in the trenches there.
And a second straight game with two turnovers forced on defense. Defense is continuing to come up big. We're going to erase that last run, but everything else was amazing.
Yeah, I know it was. The guys did a great job. Chanel, man, that was a heck of a play right there, spectacular play. But I was proud of the guys just all the way around. Coaches had a nice game plan, and I thought the players went out and just played their hearts out.
You talk about playing their hearts out. Chris Jones obviously going through a lot this week. Hey, just recognized that was actually post-game interview from the Lions game. We're going to cut to Xavier Worthy. Charles Amenihu we did in the post-game as well. We got a chance to talk with him. And one of the funny things about him is that I had mentioned that the offense, I'm trying to stir things up a little bit. I had mentioned that the offense was teasing the defense because you only play 30 plays on defense. You only should get half of your paycheck. Charles Amenihu was not having that. But we seem to be having a little bit of difficulties teeing up the postgame from the Raiders. We're going to tackle those when we come back. When we come back from break, we'll get to Charles Amenihu and Andy Reid in the post game against the Raiders. But remember, the text line and phone lines are open, 913-586-7965.
You're listening to Players Only with Danan Hughes, brought to you by Flight, by Yingling, the next generation of light beer, and by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Miriam's Grand Station, online at 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, Big Patio, on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Because I spit hot fire.
Woo! I'll call me super hot boy, 100 degrees, leather jacket, because I'm super hot, boy. Oh!
All right, thanks for sticking with us. We had some technical difficulties. Again, this is Danan Hughes, and we are back for the second quarter of Players Only. Follow me on Twitter at DAHughesGuy83 and Instagram at Danan Hughes. We got the phone lines, the text lines open, but as you are aware, if you've listened to us in the past, the second quarter is always hot fire, spit fire takes. The first thing that comes to mind is still laughing at the Raiders. Laughing at the Raiders' performance or lack thereof this past Sunday afternoon. One of four 12 noon kickoffs that we'll have, or at least are scheduled at this point. And the Raiders showing up like they did. Julio, I just can't get past it. I feel like, you know, it's like when you have that pulled muscle in your back, or you just can't get past it when you have something that's happened to you, whether it's funny, something that was, you embarrassed yourself, fell down in public. It's something that I just can't get past. That's one of my hot fire spitfire takes. Don't judge it yet, Julio. Hold your judgment, because I want to flash back to something that happened last week. I think last week my hot fire spitfire take was about Josh Simmons. Still prayers lifted up to he and his family. Andy Reid addressed it briefly today that he is dealing with some family issues, and to step away from a game for this long in that fashion and not be back tells you that it's something that's deep inside him, personally and family-wise. So that was my hot fire, spitfire take. But because I utilized last week, Julio, for that, I did not get to the cheap shot And there are cheap shots that happen all around the league every single game. But I just felt like I needed to flash back to that because it involved Juju Smith-Schuster. We all saw it. Brian Branch did not play this past week, even though the Lions did win without him. But the fact of the matter of cheap shots, and here's my stance on cheap shots. Being a physical player that I was at the wide receiver position, I'm not going to sit here and act like I was tough like the linebackers that we had, Anthony Davis and Tracy Simeon and Donnie Edwards and, you know, guys that were thumpers at the running back position like T. Rich and other guys, fullbacks. I'm not going to sit here. I feel like I was a tough player based on the position that I played. I was physical. I was physical more than tough. I think Juju Smith-Schuster is kind of like that as well. But let me be clear about cheap shots. Cheap shots in the NFL are designed to hurt somebody after the whistle. The game is so fast that a helmet-to-helmet isn't necessarily a cheap shot. A blind shot on a quarterback isn't necessarily a cheap shot. That's part of the game. Anything that happens between the lines that can draw a flag isn't necessarily a cheap shot. Post-game is a cheap shot. If I get hit illegally during the game and the refs don't see it, that's just me getting over for that play. For every play that you can see a questionable hit and you want to deem it as cheap, you can see another questionable hit. I watched that game afterwards and that one push by Juju Smith-Schuster paled in comparison to some of the hits that I saw Brian Branch himself delivered. He did not have to hit Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes was 3 yards deep in the end zone and just throwing that chicken wing at him. Let's say Patrick jams a thumb. That's a cheap shot. But yet you get all up in your feelings because you got pushed and you got pushed around the entire night. And you decide to deliver a blow post-game in a handshake when the guy wasn't talking to you. He didn't step to you and get in your face. He was extending his hand in regards to being a good sportsmanship. And you decided to throw a haymaker at him. I got a problem with that. That is a cheap shot. I'm glad that the NFL stepped in. I'm glad that the cameras were out there to see it. And I would say that if it was in reverse. It has no place on the field of play, has no place in the NFL for guys to take that opportunity post-game to throw a jab at somebody or to kick somebody or hit somebody or start a melee in that fashion. Cheap shots don't exist to the extent that people want to make them exist. If I can hit you, if I draw a flag and it's illegal, it's drawing a flag. It's part of the game of football. I always told defensive backs when we used to cut block, crack back, push them down, try to drive them into the sideline. If I come across this middle and there's a ball thrown in the air, are you going to not hit me? Are you going to not try to take my head off? If you're going to let me land and just push me down, then I may think about not cutting you. But since I know Steve Atwater, Eddie Anderson, all you big safeties that used to decapitate guys throughout your career, and Steve Atwater, justifiably so, has a gold jacket because of it. I know that that's not gonna fly with you. Then I'm gonna continue to push you, play through the echo of the whistle within the rules. And if I go outside and blur the lines of the rules, the referee is there to throw a flag, which has happened a lot to me as well. From 816 says, why are you still talking about it? Because it happened. Get off your high horse. Just enjoy it. It happened. It was real. All right, when we come back, we got the phone lines, text lines open, 913-586-7965. I appreciate you, Julio, for ironing out all of those issues we had. We're going to get back on track, get back to the game plan for this show next.
You're listening to Players Only with Dane and Hughes. Brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. and by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Miriam's Grand Station. Online at 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, Big Patio, on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Halftime is over. This is Players Only. I'm your host, Danon Hughes. The phone lines, text lines are open, 913-586-7965. That is what we do during the third quarter of the show. Players Only is brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer, and 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Merriam's Grand Station, online at 30hop.com. Well, we got the phone lines, text lines open. Let's go to Dan and KCK.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Dominant performance by the Chiefs. Glad to see Rasheed Rice back with two touchdowns. Hollywood with a touchdown. Pacheco with a touchdown. And who else got a touchdown? Hollywood, Dominic said. Yeah, Pacheco. And the field goal by Harrison Bucker. And I had a great time at the Power of My District. Ate at that cheeseburger taco. Danon had a cheeseburger taco. Had a Coors Light. Then I overdid it a little bit. Had a few more beers downstairs. But it was a great time I had. And let's take care of business with the Commanders. Take care of yourself, Danon.
Appreciate you, Dan. Glad you enjoyed yourself. Had, what'd you say, tacos, burger tacos, or something like that, and a Coors Light. You should have had a Yingling, man. Next time, get yourself a Flight by Yingling. You will thank me after that. So, yeah, I think that was an entertaining game for sure. All the guys, nine different guys caught passes, touched the ball, all three running backs involved as well. It was an amazing game from a football purist standpoint. So we definitely got to savor that. All right, Big T and Shawnee, what's good, bro?
Hey, Dan, thanks for taking my call. I keep bringing those player interviews, man. We love that. Keep up the great work. So last week we were talking about the Raiders, and, man, they always will reside at that intersection, you know, and they proved it. They really stunk up the joint. I think they're still stinking up the joint. We've been partying and celebrating that victory, too, as well, Dan. And you know, that defense, take your hat off to them, a shutout. That's hard to do in the NFL. There's been two this year. Now the Chiefs have made it three. And then also last week, I wanted to talk about Jalen Moore. I didn't get a chance to get that in. I was talking about some other stuff. But way to go, Jalen Moore. Keep up the great work on your end, young man. We need you there. So keep doing what you're doing. So the Commanders, you know, Danon, that team's not this. They're a good team. Last year they made the playoffs. They made a nice run. But they're not that same team this year. They're dealing with a lot of injuries. McLaren might be back. Maybe Debo. We don't know this. But their quarterback's out. And, man, when your quarterback's out and you're coming to Arrowhead on Monday night, that's going to be a tough task. Now it's time. Let's talk some smack on the commodes. I cannot wait till this Monday for Monday Night Football, because our Kansas City Chiefs are going to ballroom blitz the commodes into the ground as they waltz all over their faces. And as always, let's go Chiefs.
Choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo! Appreciate you, Big T. Thank you for that note. I do enjoy interviewing guys after the game. I will tell you, some guys are not very approachable at times. It's understandable. I think back to my times in the locker room, and there were some guys that I probably didn't talk to as a teammate after games because of maybe their persona or, you know, the level of anger that they showed. You just kind of keep your distance from some people. I'm sure that happens in the real world, in the office place, at home, whatever may be. But it is good. It is fun to be in the locker room post-game after wins, and it's always fun to interview Coach Reed after games. All right, we got the text line open. Somebody still talking about what I just shared about Brian Branch. Too bad. We got a Rasheed Rice comment from the 913. Do you expect Rice to get more targets than others moving forward, or will it be more like previous years where it can change every game? Thanks, Jorn. Appreciate that. I would say yes, both, to both of your parts of your question. I don't think it's going to be as designed. I feel like this game plan, the fact that Rasheed Rice was the second recipient of a pass in the game, I had predicted that in the pregame show that I thought he would be getting a bubble screen or something quick in the first or second pass attempt of the game. I thought it was a concerted effort by Matt Nagy and Andy Reid to get him involved quickly. It was almost a thumbing of the nose to the NFL and to everyone based on how things unfolded, his suspension, the length of it, in that you almost felt like it was a passion, like it was personal to get him involved the way they got him involved, whether that was Patrick, whether it was Matt Nagy, Andy Reid, the drawing up of the plays. And then if it was, everyone else was involved in it. Because you hear the post-game sound and you hear the guys cheering on Rashee Rice. We had some sound from Charles Omenihu where he even talked about having it being good to have Rashee Rice on the field. So I feel like, to answer your question, he's going to have upwards of double-digit targets in games. I feel like that's probably going to be the norm. But I also would not put aside the idea that there's going to be other guys. There's going to be games where he may not be targeted as much. It may be one game where he's going to have 15 targets and another game where he might have five and Xavier Worthy will have 10 and Tyquan Thornton might have four or five and Hollywood Brown might have six or seven. And don't forget about Travis Kelce. So that's one of the great things. That's one of those good problems that you hear around sports, that's one of those good problems that I'm looking forward to watching. Speaking of Charles Omenihu, let's go to his sound. I want you guys to hear what we heard from the defensive side of the football in an impressive win, 31-0. We're talking so much about the offense and Rashee Rice, but the defense gave up a goose egg.
Here with Charles Omenihu. Charles, first, congratulations on the big win.
Thank you, bro. We played well. Offense and defense, special teams complement each other, so it was a really good win. Division win at that, too.
So I'm looking at – let me read this off because I heard some of the offensive guys say that you guys may only deserve half of your paycheck this game because you only played 30 plays. You gave up less than 100 yards total. This one is the eye-popping one. They went over 37.5 minutes without a first down. Only three first downs on the entire afternoon. 0-for-7 on third down, 0-for-1 on fourth down. Their deepest penetration into your territory was the 46-yard line. So, like, when those guys say over there about half a paycheck, what do you got to say about that?
I think we should double our paycheck for that kind of performance. I think you should get a little more money for that.
And you mentioned winning a game against an AFC West opponent, a rival, in a game you're supposed to win and having it just seemed like a different infusion of energy in all three phases of the game. I mean, this is a three-game homestand. You're 2-0 so far. I mean, how huge does that make it?
It's big. It's big. We just got to take advantage of these games that we got at home and just take advantage of these, period. But we are on all cylinders, man. We got Rashee back. I'm so happy for him. Got in the end zone twice. So, I mean, we just clicking. You know what I'm saying? Clicking at the right time.
Congratulations, bro.
Thank you.
Very cool interview by Charles Omenihu. And that last piece I thought was very poignant, Julio, in regards to he didn't even know the defensive stats, but he knew Rashee Rice scored two touchdowns, and it was great to have him back. So that tells you when guys on the defensive side know about what's happening on the offensive side and cheering for their teammates without even knowing the extent of what they've accomplished on their side of the football tells you something really, really special brewing with this team. All right, from the 913, if Branch played in your day and took a shot at you like that in victory offense, so in victory formation, how do you respond in the moment and what teammates from your day would have lost their mind on him? I probably would have been suspended as well. I did have a quick fuse, and I did fight every game, so that wouldn't have been out of the norm, except he would have snuck me, so I would have definitely felt like I had to get him back. I don't know if it would have extended out to the parking lot, maybe. I would feel like Dale Carter, maybe Lake Dawson. I hate start naming players because I don't want to leave out any guys. I know there's several guys that would have had my back at the moment on the field, several offensive linemen as well. My man Grunhard would have been part of it. Will Shields probably would have been part of it as well. But, yeah, I would have probably lost it.
and it wouldn't have been healthy. It wouldn't have been good. From the 816, go Hawks, beat Minnesota. Yes, Floyd of Rosedale is on the line. Hawks play the Golden Gophers this Saturday. I thought about driving up there for the game, but I'm not. All right. From the 913, as a former player of professional sports, what's your opinion slash take on the NBA news and today? I'm glad someone texted that, and I'm glad we got a couple of minutes for me to tackle it. This is very, very unfortunate for all of sports. One, Chauncey Billups, in all accounts, people I know that know him well, I've met him on multiple occasions, is a very, very cool dude. Very cool dude. And it's unfortunate that he's gotten himself caught up in this, along with Damon Jones and Terry Rozier. I hope that there's more smoke than fire in it. But I have to say, and I mentioned it earlier when I was on earlier with Cody and Gold, I said, when those three letters are involved, FBI, this is not like Barney Fife and local authorities and policemen coming and knocking on your door, asking you questions and walking away. When they are involved, that means they have been involved for a long period of time. When it finally comes to a point where you are arresting someone and you have those three letters on the back of your shirt or your jacket, you have basically gotten a case put together unbeknownst to those people who you are arresting. And that is the unfortunate part. If it was something like the local police or police in a certain state where, you know, Chauncey and those guys traveled to Vegas during Summer League and they did something and now those guys are coming out, that would be a whole different story. But the fact that it's the FBI, and you heard Cash Patel talking about crime families in New York and New Jersey being involved and cheating scandals and all of the things that have come out since 6 this morning or earlier, it's not good. Now, I will say this. Where we are in the state of athletics, especially professional athletics, even college athletics, but more so professional athletics, there is a blurred line in regards and some hypocrisy to some extent in regards to, I turned on my TV today and I saw LeBron James and Kevin Hart endorsing sports betting. I saw Blake Griffin talking about sports betting, even though he's not I don't believe he's in the league anymore. But I've seen professional athletes endorsing sports betting. If you go to Vegas, you'll see billboards and other promos with guys who are actively playing in professional sports endorsing different casinos or betting apps. I have no problem with that. But if you're going to, I just feel like the lines are blurred. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not saying the lines are blurred to the point where guys should be betting on sports. I get that dynamic that should not be the case. I get the deep-seated issue that can follow behind athletes betting on their games or other games, having inside information or being pressured to do things outside the box. We've seen Jonte Porter. We heard stories about Terry Rozier, who was arrested today. You see clips online about games where he was coughing up the ball or missing shots, taking himself out of game because of injury, and then other people being rewarded with the bets that they made because of that. It's a black spot on all of sports. I hate that it's happened, and I hope for those guys and their families and their health and their safety. When you talk about organized crime being involved, like just lifting up prayers, because what probably started as, you know, some fun-filled millionaires around the table playing cards, like we hear about Michael Jordan and players playing on planes and at hotels and stuff like that. What started off as something small grew and grew and grew to the point where it was an animal, a whole different animal. So from a health standpoint, safety standpoint, livelihood standpoint, family standpoint, lift up our prayers to those guys. And I hope that it's not as deep as what it's made to be. Well, when we come back, we do have the Commanders coming in to GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. They haven't been here in a while. They haven't had a lot of success, but on any given Sunday, or in this case, Monday, anything can happen. We'll talk about Commanders next.
You're listening to Players Only with Danan Hughes, brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer, and by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Miriam's Grand Station, online at 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, Big Patio, on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Players Only in the fourth quarter of the show. We just have a few minutes left. I appreciate all the callers and texters that helped me along in this show. As I mentioned, being in here solo can be a chore, but it's always helpful when we got the fans that chime in. Speaking of fans, my wife texts me, Julio, and said, Willie Davis, I knew I shouldn't have started naming teammates that would have had my back and fought. Willie Davis is definitely a guy. I don't want my boy out here thinking that I don't think he would have had my back. So my man Willie would have had my back, just like Tim Barnett, Keith Cash. I'm going to stop right now because now I got to keep going. But, yeah, all my boys would have had my back, but they know that I would have been short, quick-tempered, and it wouldn't have just been a slap, and, like, we would have had to been pulled off by multiple people. That's just how I was rolling back then. All right, back to football. All right, we got the Commanders coming in. The Washington Commanders not having the season up to this point that they expected after the run that they had last year. Part of the reason is the loss of their quarterback, Jaden Daniels, who will be out for this game. He was in the game last week during that game, got sacked, stripped of the ball. His hamstring pulled. He will not play on Monday night. Marcus Mariota, 11-year vet, will be the starting quarterback for the Commanders. They do have some weapons. Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, Luke McCaffrey, Zach Ertz, a solid run game as well. And it's very similar to what I had said about the Raiders last week in regards to this. From a psyche standpoint, yes, every game matters in the NFL. You only play 17 of them, and every game matters. But from a psyche standpoint, from a psychological standpoint, when you come into Arrowhead Stadium, and if you're able to escape with a win, most teams, from a psyche standpoint, would probably say it equates to at least two wins, maybe even three in the case of the Raiders. Probably for the Commanders, basically because there's so many questions around their organization, so many issues that they've sustained in regards to injuries, they're looking at this game as a tide turner. This is one that if they come in and they're able to win, in their minds, they have returned to the level of play that they established and the standard that they established last season. We can't allow that to happen. But they're not going to be a pushover. Dan Quinn has done a phenomenal job in establishing that kind of tone, that kind of identity with this organization. They got some guys that are very talented, may even have an axe to grind. Deebo Samuel was on the San Francisco 49ers for both Super Bowl losses. I am absolutely sure that he has held that close to his heart. Quick story, Julio, in Vegas prior to the Super Bowl against the San Francisco 49ers, was in a steakhouse with my boy Cliff, who works for Nike, represents Deebo Samuel. Deebo was in there with Brandon Ayuk and a couple other guys. I had a Chiefs jersey on. I had a Chiefs shirt on, and they did not want me to sit down with them. They did not want me to sit at the table with them just because I had a Chiefs shirt. And this was prior to the Super Bowl. And it was after the first Super Bowl, obviously, in 2019. But this was prior to that next game that was 2 days later. So I know that he has it dialed in that he wants to make the Chiefs pay, and we got to be able to stop that. It's going to be a good game. Prime time Monday night football at GEHA Field at Arrowhead Stadium. It's going to be special time, and I'm looking forward to it. But I do fully expect our Chiefs to come out victorious, be 5-3, and who knows what'll happen around the rest of the AFC West. For Julio, for our texters and our callers, Dan and Big T, we appreciate you. We'll be back next week after another win. Peace.
Listening to Players Only with Danan Hughes, brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer, and by 30 Hop in Lee's Summit and Miriam's Grand Station, online at 30hop.com. Local beer, American Eats, Big Patio, on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5, The Fan.
Bet 365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a mundane morning, Barb's day got busy without warning. A realtor in need of an open house sign? No, 50 of them, and designed before 9.
My head hurts.
Any mighty tools to help with this plight?
Aha!
Barb made her move. She opened Canva and got in the groove.
Bulk creating Canva sheets. Create 50 signs fit for suburban streets.
Done in a click, all complete.
Sweet!
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.